Good morning, and welcome to you all. If you're a visitor for the first time, we're delighted to see you. This morning's 10 o'clock service continues our Ken at 10 run, so we're welcome. We're delighted to have Ken leading the service. We also say welcome back to Leslie and family from their trip to Poland. This evening's reflective service will be continuing the short series on John's Gospel. Pastoral news. This Tuesday at 2:30 in this sanctuary will be the memorial service for Phil Thompson. Evelyn White is going to hospital on Tuesday, and we wish her well. And I have some news about our younger friends and members. Alison Holt's daughter Rebecca has done very well in her GCSEs. Daphne's grandchildren, Alex and Olivia, are continuing well in their studies. Olivia has moved to Australia, and Alex is pursuing a PhD. Last night, Rebecca James became engaged to Stuart. And continuing the Rebecca stories, Rebecca Staunton's baby will be due in January. But I ask you to remember all our young members and friends who are starting their new academic years. I have a reminder from John Fisher about our participation in the Kingston Heritage Open Day. And the church sanctuary and the halls will be open for visitors to look around on this Friday, the 9th of September, between 11 and 3. John would really appreciate help with that, so do speak to me, because John's not here, if you're willing to offer your help. And finally, next Sunday morning service will start at 11 o'clock, and our combined service will include our AGM and all our welcome. And then there's another and finally I've just remembered. It's Kingston Carnival, and towards the end of this service we're very likely to have the carnival procession go by. So be prepared and let's see what happens. Thank you. Thank you, Ken.
Good morning, everybody. We open our service by saying together the alternative lines of the song on the screen. I will say the first line, and if you will say the lines in the dark print. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let those who fear the Lord say, out of the depths I called upon the Lord. The Lord is at my side. I do not fear. The Lord's right hand has triumphed. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. We join to sing, I lift my eyes to the quiet hills. As we pray, let us recall the promise of God to be with us when we join together to worship him. Lord, you are great and greatly to be praised. Awaken us to delight in your praises, for you made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. Be thou a bright flame before me. Be thou a guiding star above me. Be thou a smooth path below me. Be thou a kindly shepherd behind me, today, tonight, and forever. God our Father, you have chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. Shed forth continual day upon us who watch for you, that our lips may praise you, our life may bless you, and our meditations may give you glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We join to say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, Our first reading comes from the prophet Jeremiah, and will be read to us by John Arnold.
This reading is taken from Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 to 11. The Lord said to me, "Go down to the potter's house, where I will give you my message." So I went there and saw the potter working at his wheel. Whenever a piece of pottery turned out imperfect, he would take the clay and make it into something else. Then the Lord said to me, "Haven't I the right to do with you people of Israel what the potter did with the clay? You are in my hands, just like clay in the potter's hands. If at any time I say that I am going to uproot, break down, or destroy any nation or kingdom, but then that nation turns from its evil, I will not do what I said I would. On the other hand, if I say I'm going to plant or build up any nation or kingdom, but then that nation disobeys me and does evil, I will not do what I said I would. Now then, tell the people of Judah and of Jerusalem that I am making plans against them and getting ready to punish them. Tell them to stop living sinful lives, to change their ways and the things they are doing." Amen.
The next hymn, the words is written by John Clare, who was the poet who lived in Bedfordshire and was homeless for a large part of his life. But he wrote these amazing, moving poems, and here is one. And it's a delight to have Tony back on the organ playing for us. Our second reading comes from the Gospel of St. Luke, and Janine Goddard is going to read this for us.
Our reading is Luke 14, verses 25 to 33. Once, when large crowds of people were going along with Jesus, he turned and said to them, "Those who come to me cannot be my disciples unless they love me more than they love father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and themselves as well. Those who do not carry their own cross and come after me cannot be my disciples. If one of you is planning to build a tower, you sit down first and work out what it will cost to see if you have enough money to finish the job. If you don't, you won't be able to finish the tower after laying the foundation, and all who see what happened will laugh at you. This man began to build but can't finish the job, they will say. If a king goes out with 10,000 men to fight another king who comes against him with 20,000, he will sit down first and decide if he is strong enough to face the other king. If he isn't, he will send messengers to meet the other king to ask for terms of peace while he is still a long way off. In the same way," concluded Jesus, "none of you can be my disciple unless you give up everything you have." Amen.
In the Book of Common Prayer, there is a point where the minister says to those who come, "Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ says to all who truly turn to him." And the promises of Christ follow. "Come to me, all who are labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that people who believe on him should not perish but have eternal life." It's part of our need and tradition to hear the comfortable words of Jesus. But for the people of God, wholeness means hearing the complete word which God addresses to us in Scripture. That is, the uncomfortable as well as the comfortable words. We are not at liberty to select those passages which reinforce our own prejudice or inclination. Hence, for me, the irreplaceable value of a system of set readings from the Bible which we follow week by week, which means that the words which we hear are sometimes words which we would hardly have chosen for ourselves. And this echoes the words I found in Liz's family Bible before we were married and before I was ordained. And the words were, "Let the scripture teach you and not you it." If we listen only to the comfortable words and are unable to live with the uncomfortable, Then, said Jesus, we are like a man who decided to build a tower without sitting down and calculating the cost to see if he could afford to finish it. All the onlookers would laugh at him. There is the man, he said, who started to build and could not finish. And all these words by way of introduction to a reading which presents us with a very hard saying, by means of which we are invited, I think, to think about the Word of God and the family. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, even his own life, he cannot be a disciple of mine. The gospel is about a conflict of loyalties. We can experience this by being members of families, or being married, or belonging to a group with a strong identity, when people linked by the same school, social club, work colleagues, or political party can turn into a group with its own priorities and become inaccessible to newcomers. The New Testament reminds us that we are always living in an alien culture, and we need to keep clear of the forces exerted by the society we live in, because they can threaten our individual values and our ability to hear the Word of God. But the thing that shocks us now about the words of Jesus in the Gospel is the warning that personal loyalty can be one of those threatening forces. It's not difficult to see how that can happen. It's possible to submerge one's identity in a group of friends or relatives to such an extent that we rarely cease to exist independently, either for ourselves or for other people. Groups can take over the life of their members to the point where they have no individual time or space, and they become, in effect, a drudge. Such relationships are destructive for everybody. The gospel reaffirms our individual relationship with God. Belonging to groups with common interests and commitments can enrich our lives, but we need also to hear what Jesus is saying about the need for individuals to be themselves. In practical terms, this means in a marriage that the marriage will aim at an equal sharing which allows space and freedom for both partners. And in dealing with children and grandchildren, it means an attempt to respect the individual and privacy of both of them, where their interests and lifestyle may seem somewhat strange and difficult to live with. Groups of friends and families can become so close, introverted, and inaccessible to others that they become exclusive, reinforcing the loneliness and isolation of those who are left outside the group. Close families are, of course, a source of joy and strength, and can be a source of joy and strength to outsiders as well. But Jesus reminds us that there is nothing specifically religious about a close family. If you love only those who love you, said Jesus, what is extraordinary about that? If you speak only to your friends, have you done anything out of the ordinary? Even the pagans do that. Things go wrong when the closeness of a group cuts off its members from finding and offering friendship to peoples who not belong to the group. And one of the great things about this church is our potential to offer friendship to people who are outside close groups. This particularly includes many people who used to be in close individual relationships or members of close families, but are so no longer because their dear ones have died. And it also includes people who come from Kingston from across the world and are looking for a new group to identify with, a new member to belong to. And I also include people who come to this church who are refugees from other church traditions which have not suited them. There is, throughout the whole Bible, an ambivalence, a tension between the person called by God and the group to they belong to. Remember how, example, Joseph's brothers were provoked to murder and finally sold their young brother into slavery because of the dreams he told them, in which they bowed down to him. The call of God to one man to shake the dust of the society off his feet, like Lot leaving Sodom, or to preach repentance by Jonah to Nineveh, or to let the people go, like Moses to Pharaoh. That looks incredible arrogance and certainly breaks up the party. And that's why the prophets describe the word of God as a burden. Jesus describes it as part of the cross of discipleship. Modern examples are whistleblowers. They are modern examples of disciples. They are the people who step out of line at enormous personal cost for the sake of society at large. They are the followers of Jesus. They are willing to give up everything they have for the path of truth. They remind me of the prophets, people who heard the word of God and knew inescapably that the response to them was laid on them individually, personally. No friendship, no relationship, no group loyalty could stand in the way of the word of God to them individually. Further, unless individuals in each group and entity and society remain faithful to the word of God as it comes to them, society, groups, and friends are rudderless. They drift in the stream of the society in which they happen to be. We can see the critical importance of this if you consider our political situation. What our members of Parliament owe us above all is their personal integrity. This is far more valuable to us than party allegiance. Once we feel that they are not telling us the truth or putting their personal advancement ahead of the national interest, things fall apart. Similarly, our personal health and the health of our families and our friends depend on us being true to the word of God which comes to us. I remember a conversation a long time ago with a young girl who was trying to decide whether or not to be confirmed. She'd attended confirmation classes and was less than overwhelmed by religious arguments. I said I thought that it was really about which side she wanted to be on. And on that basis, she decided to be confirmed. Such commitments, though, can be costly and even life-changing. It might mean, for example, that a young person does not take the job which pays best. Jesus says, we must be like salt, keeping society healthy. Faithfulness to God's word is everything. When God called Abraham, he promised that if he was faithful, all the families of the earth would be blessed through him. So the theme of the gospel is the cost of discipleship. And the theme is unpacked for me in the covenant service, which Methodists use and renew every year. And this is what it says. We accept God's purpose for us and the call to love and serve God in all our life and work. Christ has many services to be done. Some are easy, others are difficult. Some bring honor, others bring reproach. Some are suitable to our natural inclinations and material interests. Others are contrary to both. In some, we may please Christ and please ourselves. In others, we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. Yet the power to do all these things is given to us in Christ who strengthens us. Therefore, let us make a covenant, the covenant with God, our own covenant. Let us give ourselves to him, trusting in his promises and relying on his grace. Jesus said, none of you can be my disciple unless you give up everything you have. And I end with the words of the prayer which is part of that covenant service. God of grace, through the mediation of your Son, you call us into a new covenant. Help us, therefore, to draw near with faith and join ourselves to you in a perpetual covenant through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We join to sing, Jesus, good above all other, gentle child of gentle mother. In a stable born our brother, give us grace to persevere. Let us pray for ourselves, for our friends and neighbours, and for all people everywhere according to their need. Let us pray for the Church of Christ throughout the world, now subject to increasing persecution. We pray for the unity of Christians, for the fulfillment of the mission of Christ, and for all Christians here in Kingston. Strengthen your church in the service of Christ, that we and all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray for all the nations and peoples of the world. And in that, let us pray for all who serve the common good, for our own country and for our government, for all in authority, especially people who are in authority in our own area of Kingston and have major decisions to make. Give wisdom to all in authority. Direct this and every nation in the ways of justice and of peace, that we may honour one another and seek the common good. Lord, in your mercy, let us pray for those we know and love, for our local community, for our families and friends. And in a moment of silence, let us remember those of our friends or family who need our prayers. God our Father, give grace to us, to our families and friends, and to all our neighbours, that we may serve Christ in one another and love as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy. Let's pray for those who suffer, for sick people, for those who are mourning, for those who are in despair and who lack faith. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, let us remember all who have died, giving thanks especially for those who have revealed by their living the faith of Christ. We commend all people to your unfailing love, that in them your will may be fulfilled. And we rejoice at the faithful witness of your saints in every age, praying that we may share with them in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue our service as we make our offering. Lord God, we bring to you the ordinary things of life, food and drink and money, and with them we bring ourselves. Take this and our gifts of money to do your work in the world. Take this food and drink from our tables, and feed us from your table with your love. Accept our sacrifice of praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Everyone are welcome to join us in the celebration of the bread and wine, the memorial of the life and death of Jesus. For those who are new to us, when the bread comes round, you're invited to take it and eat it, and you will find that there are gluten-free bread available so that no one need be excluded. Similarly, on the wine, when it's brought round, will you receive it and hold it so that we can all drink it together, and you can be assured that there is no alcoholic content in the wine. Let us pray. Holy God, you go on loving us even when we turn away from you. You sent your Son Jesus, who healed those who were sick, wept with those who were sad, and forgave sinners. To show the world your love, He died upon the cross, and you raised him in glory. On the night before Jesus died, he took bread, thanked you as we are thanking you, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this to remember me." After supper, he took a cup of wine, thanked you, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the new covenant in my blood. It will be shed for you and for many people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this to remember me." And so, God of love, we remember that Jesus died and rose again to make all things new. Through his offering for us all, we offer you our whole life in thanks and praise. Send your Holy Spirit that these gifts of bread and wine may be to us God's saving blood and body. May this same Spirit unite us with all your people on earth and in heaven. Bring us at last to live in your glory with all your saints, that we may praise you forever through Jesus your Son in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. the blood of Christ. God of glory, we have seen with your eyes and touched with your hands the bread of heaven. Strengthen us in our life together, that we may grow in love for you and for each other, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We join to sing, Christ is made the sure foundation, Christ the head and cornerstone. Now may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us always. Amen. We shall say the grace to each other as we leave. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.